Second Chronicles chapter 20. Just keep your Bibles open there. I'll try to give you some understanding of what's happening in this particular account in the Bible, leading up to with what God has laid on my heart for the service this morning and probably tonight as well. Just because I'm thrilled with it doesn't mean that I have to thrill you with it all at one time. So you pray that God will give us obedience to His Spirit today. Second Chronicles chapter 20, we have an interesting account in the Word of God. Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah. And in verse 2, some have come to tell him that there is a multitude of people. We find out it's the people of Moab, Ammon, the people of Mount Seir. In this chapter later on, we read about them. And they're all coming together, combining together for a just cause, they feel. And with that, they can't see the error of their ways, but they're plotting against the children of God. Do you know that the world thinks that they would do society a great favor if they could get us to hush up? Now, as we approach the day of the Lord and the coming of the Lord, I don't want to leave you with a negative thought, but I want to tell you this, and please hear what I'm going to say. It is not going to get easier to serve God. It's going to get more difficult to serve the Lord. And the battles will intensify. Because as we get closer to the coming of the Lord, we also know that we are closer to the coming of the Antichrist. And to set the stage for His power, He starts to prepare the hearts of others, evil people, wicked people, to start to come against the church. And as the church is being fought, the battles will get greater, not less. I think that any time that I preach about battles, it's appropriate because we've heard in testimonies already this morning that none of us know what we will face before we gather again in this church, even tonight. You don't know what you'll face by the time we come back on next Sunday. 1 week can change people's lives. 1 day can change people's lives. 1 hour and even 1 minute can change your life. And you'd be in the middle of a turmoil like you've never been in before. And the enemy got so large in number that when he realized how many of them there were, it first brought great fear to his heart because he realized all of these people are coming against us. They're going to wage war against us, and it's going to be the battle of all battles. And by our numbers, we don't have the strength nor the ability to overcome them. So we know that the battle's going to get worse. And as the battle gets worse, you're going to have to know what to do in the time of battle. Let's face it. There's too many people that when they face battles, they think that if I can get a hold of the preacher, I can find out what to do. If I can get a hold of this one, I'll find out what to do. But sometimes, we heard it from Cindy this morning. She couldn't tell the robber, wait until I call my pastor to see what to do. She couldn't say, wait until I call home office. If you don't mind, sir, I know you're threatening to take my life, but if it's okay, let me just make 3 phone calls, or at least 1 phone call, and I'll try to figure out what to do. No, it's too late then. You better know what to do before you ever get in the battle. And Jehoshaphat calls a fast in verse 3. And the people start to seek God. And they're waiting on God to speak to them as this battle approaches. If we could just hear something from the Lord. If we just had one word of direction in our life. If we just knew the right thing to do. We're outnumbered. We're surrounded. But if we could just hear from God, it would be all right. And they're fasting, preparing for that. You know, that's why we're living in a time now where a lot of battles you can't wait to fast to prepare for it. And fasting in the Bible is a time where people spiritually are preparing themselves for the direction of God, the help of God, the revelation of God, the manifestation of God in their life. That's all stages of preparing for God to do something that they cannot do by themselves. Because even the Lord taught us that in His Word when the disciples came to Him and said, we don't understand. Why could we not cast out these devils? Jesus said, this kind cometh about by nothing save prayer and fasting. He was saying, you haven't prepared yourself for what's ahead. We need to be a prepared people in the age that we are living in. We need to stay, not just a spurt here, a spurt there of glory, not just a taste of God every now and then. We need to stay 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in a constant place where we can commune with God and hear from heaven. So they're waiting. All the way through verse 13, they're waiting. Boy, verse 13 just broke my heart. I can imagine it. What are they waiting? They're waiting to hear from God. For somebody to say something that they know that God is in it, and there's no doubt that God has given them the answer. And by the time you get to verse 13, when I read that, I just could not. Judah, all of Judah, stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Do you know the Old Testament is interpreted by the Jews? They said that they were all standing, looking at one another. And when they would speak, they would say something like this: have you heard anything from the Lord yet? They were honest enough to say, I haven't heard, but maybe you've heard something. If God doesn't tell me, that's all right if He tells you. As long as we hear from the Lord, that's the important thing. They search through the crowd. No one has the answer. They go to the priest, waiting on the high priest to say something. The high priest doesn't say a word. They're waiting, saying, if we don't hear from God, these children will perish and die. We will perish and die. We need something from God. The strangest thing happens from verse 13 to verse 14. A man by the name of Jehaziel, he's the son of Zechariah, and he is a Levite. The sons of Asaph, does that word Asaph look familiar to you? Where do you see that name at more than anywhere else in Scripture? In the Psalms. That's exactly right. Asaph is noted. He is a Levite that's noted with the sons of Asaph. They were the singers. Now, there's a move in this country, I see it a lot, where people, it's split. I know I'm going to get in trouble when I say this. There's some people that like all preaching and no singing, and some people like all singing and no preaching. And some people, you can't satisfy them with either one. I know churches that go for months that have no preaching. I know pastors that they spent the entire week trying to book a singing group somewhere so they don't have to preach today. You don't ever have to worry about that. I'll always be ready to say something. Now, God might come in and use the singers, but if that don't happen, I am going to say something. And here he is among the singers. And God, that's the whole direction of some of this. Remember that. You've got to remember what group that he's out of, and then you understand why God spoke to him. And he said something strange, and here's the reason they believed it. They believed it because what he was saying, he said it in a particular way. It comes at the end of that verse. Because the Levite of the sons of Asaph came, upon him came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Now that is an amazing thing to me, and I've watched it for 33 years of preaching, how you can have hundreds of people, but God will come down by His Spirit on one. In the middle of the crowd. It only takes one. If just one of you get blessed today, you don't know whose life you'll touch. But he was in the Spirit of the Lord. So now they're suddenly saying, this man's in the Spirit. I know the Spirit of the Lord. He's in the Spirit. And he's got something to say. We'd better listen to him. And he starts to speak. And what does he say in verse 15? The middle of the verse. He says exactly what the Lord said. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. Oh, I'm feeling God before I get there. For the battle is not yours, but God's. I'm getting spiritual doodads right now. There's nothing quite like when the Spirit of the Lord comes along and says, the battle's not yours. It's the Lord's. God's going to take care of it. You don't have to fight the battle. God's going to win the victory. All you have to do is believe what God has said. Drive the fear out of your heart and say, this one belongs to God. And he doesn't stop there. By the time you get to verse 17, he says, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. First he says, the battle's not yours, the battle's the Lord. And second of all, God don't even need you. Doesn't need you to fight. That hurts a lot of you because you love to fight. Whether it's of God or not, you just love to fight. When you've got a fight in you, that's hard to overcome. And I realize that sometimes we want to fight battles that are not our own. Why did he say you don't need to fight the battle? Because he said it's not your battle now. It's God's battle. Once God's got it in his hands, God doesn't need you, me, or anybody else to win the battle. He's God. And he says, the battle's not yours. That's a problem with some of you. Pride keeps you from coming to these altars and giving your battle to God. You want to hold on to it. And you're going to have to give the battle to God. And when he gives the battle to the Lord, he realizes that it's the Lord. He said, now you don't need to fight. Quit fighting other people's battles. You're not the Lord. You can't win the battle for other people. I can pray for people, but I cannot fight the battle that's already given to God. If you give it to God, you don't have to keep fighting it over and over and over again. The battle's the Lord's. Now to prove it, he does the strangest thing. You'll find it in verse 21. Verse 20, it gets them all together. They're getting ready to go to battle. They get the army there. They get everybody together. Verse 21, here it is now. And when he consulted with the people, he appointed singers. Isn't that something? Asaph, of the sons of Asaph, he appointed singers. Why? Because he knew who to appoint. He knew who to call on. He knew who could sing. He knew who could sing praises to God. He was out of the group, but he knew their life, and he knew who could sing. Listen. Some people don't like that God does the appointing. We like to do the appointing ourselves. But God comes along and says, this is what I've chosen. Get the singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out. In verse 21, you see it in the middle. As they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord. For his mercy endureth forever. You didn't get that. They're getting ready to fight a multitude of fierce warriors. And he says, get the singers out in front of the army. Why? Because the battle's not yours. The battle's God. It's not time to fight. It's time to sing. Not time to go to war right now. It's time to sing. I said earlier that the battles will get more fierce. And you know how you'll weed out those that are genuine and those that are not. As we near the coming of the Lord, the ones that even though the multitude gathers and the storm clouds are dark, and the devil is cussing and fussing at us, and he's fighting with everything he has. They're saying, that's all right. The battle's not ours. It's God. And they will have a song in the middle of the battle. They go out to march, and instead of putting the weapons first and the strong men first, they put the singers first, and the singers start singing. What do they sing? Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. As they started to sing that song, suddenly Ammon, suddenly all of the Moabites, those on Mount Seir, they start turning on one another and killing each other. Isn't that something? Won the battle with the song. But Lord, now I know you can do anything, but this is a real big thing we've got right now. So if you don't care, we'll fight and sing later. God said, no. You sing before the victory comes. In fact, there won't be a victory if you don't sing. It's time for you to sing your song. He said, don't spend your time complaining. It's all we do. We're the whiniest bunch of people ever were. Can't satisfy anyone. All week long, everybody complaining. It's hot, it's dry, it's hot, it's dry. Come out today and people say, oh, I can't come to church, preacher. It's cloudy. You know what you need to do? You need to quit griping and complaining and learn the song, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Sometimes God says, you've got to sing your song on this side of the victory. Sometimes you've got to say to the devil, it's my song and you can't take it. Thank God, God gave us something that the world cannot take away and the devil cannot take away. You say, I can't, I don't even know a note of music, but it's still your song. You don't know if you're an alto or a soprano, a bass or a tenor, but it's still your song. It's a song that hell can't stop. It's a song that the devil hates to hear. It's a song that the angels cannot sing. It's a song that rings out no matter what the enemy is doing to us. It's our song, and we're going to sing it.